Welcome back to the Golly Young Men Podcast, episode 153. Excited to have you join us for today's episode. Really looking forward to getting into the topic today. Before we do, it's a new year. If you're not a member of the Discord, be sure and click the link to join. It is in the description. We've got a great group of guys, a great community of guys on there that, man, they talk so much, I can't keep up with it.
I can't either. I feel bad.
I still keep the alerts on. I turn the notifications off, but, man, I get them all the time, and then I have to pick a time later in the day to go and check everything, essentially, to make sure I didn't miss anything.
We just started a Bible reading plan, daily Bible reading plan. So we're going to go through the entire year. I'm going to post every single morning. At least I'm going to try to remember to post every single morning. And there's a couple things that allow me to post ahead of time, but it's a pain. So we're figuring that out.
But it's a Bible reading plan for everybody together.
So. Yep, for everybody together that we're all reading. And the other thing is, and I don't think I've told you this, what we're going to look to do is giveaways, giveaway for merch. And I'm thinking maybe once a month, somewhere around there, we're going to do a giveaway, just a hoodie or a hat or something along those lines.
Some nice new hoodies on the store.
Some nice new hoodies. We got new shirts coming as well, new designs, things like that. One that will be a design from people in the Discord. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just a ton of fun.
Join the community.
Join the community. Make sure you're there. If you're not there, then, yeah, click the link below.
And we don't say this enough. If you like the show, leave us a rating, subscribe. That's the biggest thing on YouTube, podcast, Spotify, and you know, all those things. So, Joe, let's get into the topic. We are talking about a very influential figure, to call it that. We're talking about Nicholas Fuentes, known as Nick Fuentes. And, I was talking to somebody today who I said that name, and he did not really know who it was.
No way.
I was surprised.
Was he a boomer?
He was a young guy. But this particular individual notwithstanding, Nick Fuentes is very well-known. He is very influential. In fact, in the last, I would say, 3 months, his popularity has just skyrocketed, beyond what it was before. He's exploded. Joe, why don't you get into a little bit about who Nick Fuentes is? We don't really have a super structured outline. We just feel like this is one of those topics where virtually everybody who's a godly young man who is watching, listening to this, knows who Nick Fuentes is. You've heard some of the things he has said. You have heard some of his takes. Maybe you've seen some of the interviews he's done. And so we need to address it. We need to talk about it. That's what we're here to do today.
It's a similar show like the Andrew Tate one that we did, of course.
Two years ago now, I think.
Was it 2 years ago?
It's been a while.
So he's the new biggest name kind of in the social media world, specifically in the masculinity sphere. Yeah. Even though he's not in the masculinity sphere, he's not going to be part of the manosphere. There's a lot of crossover, and a lot of people that are kind of in this manosphere are either having him on the podcast or talking about him, things like that.
Tucker Carlson's interviewed him.
Yep. Piers Morgan's kind of got him to explode.
Crowder, Candace Owens, a lot of people have interviewed him.
Yeah, so he's just been everywhere. He has his own podcast, America First. Is a show on Rumble, I believe, a live stream that he does that he gets, I think I just recently saw, 60,000 people live watching him, which is...
He says he gets hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, at this point, I think the views in total for each video are hundreds of thousands per video. He's got 1.2 million followers on X. He has been creating content for, I think, over a decade. I mean, it's been a long time, but he's been building. I mean, he had his assets frozen at banks, various banks. He couldn't even bank because of some of the things he was saying. That was years back. So he's been kind of a firebrand and just a shock jock in some ways that has gotten him canceled from pretty much everywhere other than the fact that he's huge right now. And especially among young people, popularity has skyrocketed since October 7th, 2023. So they had the attacks on Israel with the Hamas and you know, that entire issue and just... big deal, obviously, and took the world captive and the attention captive. And he came out with his views on it. He's very anti-Israel in a lot of ways. And so that has skyrocketed. What's interesting, and we recently recorded a Think Deeper on this. What's interesting is we read the comments underneath. So you sent me that Piers Morgan interview. I had seen
a ton
of clips.
Two-hour
interview. We ended up sitting down watching the entire thing, looking at the comments. We watched a lot of clips in preparation for this. And I had seen a lot, but watched a ton more, and it's the comments that always got me, because the comments seemingly are very in favor of him, seemingly very anti-Israel. Some of the things that we're starting to see kind of change, he is again leading the charge in a way that Gen Z is following and buying it hook, line, and sinker in a lot of ways, which is kind of surprising to see.
So I was familiar, of course, with Nick Fuentes a month ago or so, but really had not. I really hadn't even watched any of his clips or anything. I knew the name. I try to get on X every now and then just to keep up with the news stories, and then stuff would come across my timeline that was him. So I knew who he was and all that. But Man, I prior to really preparing for this episode, I had not watched a single episode of his show. I had not watched any of the interviews that he had done, and so I was felt kind of ill-prepared. So I did watch the entire Piers Morgan interview, watched a couple other clips of his, watched some other things that other people were saying about him, kind of reactions to the Piers Morgan interview. And so, you know, I come to this fairly, I wouldn't say insanely knowledgeable about Nick Fuentes. I did want to say this at the start, Joe, and then we can take it wherever you want to next. I think the question of why so many young people, because he's 27, he's basically my age, a year older than me. He's unmarried, he's Gen Z. I think the question of why so many young people are flocking to him is just fascinating. Yep. So I want to get into that next, and then any other thing that you want to talk about as we kind of intro here still. I want to get out ahead and just say, if you're watching this, maybe you're an older listener, or maybe you are just kind of coming across a clip of this or something like that, and you are thinking, why are they talking about this guy? He says a bunch of stuff he shouldn't, all these things. Why are they even giving this time of day? This is not something that we should be concerned about. We are going to strongly disagree with you. And if you're somebody who, again, that if that's your position, that just because he's controversial, just because he says some things that maybe you're uncomfortable with, and so he says things I'm uncomfortable with as well, that we shouldn't talk about it.
Right.
That's just wrong. I don't agree with that at all. And so you might just need to find a different episode for today and come back next week. And that's fine. But we're going to talk about it. I'm so opposed to the idea, and I think most young men are as well, of there being off limits topics.
Yep.
The topics are taboo, that you shouldn't talk about that. You know, like, young people are kind of tired of hearing that. Honestly, that's probably why they're flocking to Nick Fuentes.
Big reasons why.
And so again, if you're like, man, they should be talking about this, just go ahead, you know, click off of it and go watch something else or listen to something else. Young people all, and not even just young people, older people as well, are flocking to this guy. And so we need to talk about it as the Golly I'm In podcast. That's what we're going to do.
Let me also say this. This is, we don't agree with him on a lot of different things.
Sure.
So if you're looking at it like, oh, wow, these guys are all in for Nick Fuentes.
They're big Fuentes fans.
Yeah. No, but I think he makes some intriguing points, no doubt. I think he says some things that probably need to be said, and I think he says a lot of things that don't. But this is not a blanket endorsement for, hey, go watch Nick Fuentes and like all his stuff. It's more
just
of like...
Just like the Andrew Tate video.
Correct.
He came out and said very publicly, correct, hey, he has a lot of things completely wrong. He also says some things that maybe we need to pay attention to.
Right, right. And he also is pushing... I don't think he's fully Christian. He's a Catholic. But he's pushing Christian faith to some degree. He wants to see it as a Christian nation. That's just the beginning of his show, America First Show, which, again, I've never seen a full episode of, other than I've seen
clips here and there.
Clips, yeah. And clips and clips, a ton of clips, not just in preparation for this. I've seen him for a really long time. He's a very intriguing figure. And yes, he's very important to young people. And so let's jump into that question. Why do you think so many people are flocking to him as a firebrand, as somebody who is
bombastic,
yeah, uses the N-word, you know, says some pretty crazy things about women, about, you know, various people? Why do you think that is so appealing to this younger generation? Do we really have a bunch of racists and homophobes and xenophobes, right, and everything else walking around?
I think young people are so sick and tired of being tone policed.
Yep.
I think young people are so sick and tired of being told to essentially get in line. Specifically young men, be a good boy, just right, avoid all the labels, avoid the racist label, avoid the misogynist label, because, you know, in that Piers Morgan interview, that's, you know, not that we're going to necessarily dissect that, but that's what he kept trying to throw at Fuentes, and Fuentes was basically unfazed by it. He's like, I don't care that you call me those things.
Right.
And so I think he's appealing specifically to young men, Joe, just as we get started, is because young men are sick and tired of being tone police. They are sick and tired of... having people, again, just basically tell them to get in line and here's what you're supposed to believe. Again, are there things that he says that I'm like, you're out of your mind and that's crazy? Yes, of course. But I think it's just the general condescending tone police nature that, again, not to cast aspersion, but the older generation does to Gen Z, that, you know, people watch Nick Fuentes and he just doesn't really care about it. And so that's appealing to them. It's similar to me, honestly. Remember Trump when he was first coming into wanting to run for president? And people just love the fact that he just said what was on his mind,
yep,
right?
Oh,
he
yep
was different than other politicians, yep, and people love that. He was just didn't care about the system, all those things. So I think it's very similar here. But
absolutely,
what are your thoughts on that question?
Well, I think you're exactly right on that. And it's not just older to young. Older people police each other this way. If they call each other racist, like, whoa, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, right?
It's the worst word in the world.
Yeah, correct. And entire careers and lives are ruined because somebody tweets something. And this is a middle finger to it, is really what it is. It's a middle finger to a system that's willing to take away somebody's livelihood, rip everything from them because they tweeted something online. And whether that should have been tweeted or not, you know, back in the day, or whether they should have said something at work, there are consequences, no doubt, to some of the things that we say. But the idea of like cancel culture and things like that, he comes along, it's like, cancel me, go for it, do what you're going to do. I'm still going to come, I'm still going to say it, just come right at you.
Yeah.
There's something so appealing, especially to young men, of somebody who's willing to look at the world and go, this is how it works, this is what it is, and who doesn't treat them like, you know, oh, those stupid little kids, you'll get there one day, you'll figure it out. It's like, no, a ton of young people flock to, hey, we have figured it out. And I think there's a bit of a, we have a knowledge that you don't, that the boomers don't. And sure, that's appealing to a younger generation, but more than anything, I think it's, he stands for the common younger white man, and that's a lot of America.
And there hasn't really been anybody that has been that stand-in person, that idol, that hero for the straight white man, essentially, because they've been villainized for so long.
And whether he should be or not, it's not the point. The point is we had nobody, and so it's easy to, you know, bring somebody up in our estimation and to make him into a hero when he's saying things that are true. He's saying things like, yes, there is a lot going on in the world, specifically in American culture, that does keep that from, you know, keep the straight white male from being able to prosper. From the college education, where you're the last guy on the outline, or the last guy that's going to be taken, unless you happen to know somebody or happen to be insanely rich, like, they're going to pick people over you. For the job process, they're going to pick people over you. AI has taken a lot of jobs. Like, who is saying these things? Matt Walsh has gotten more into the AI, but who's saying some of these things that is, you know, you look at the some of the struggles with women. And the insane culture, Piers Morgan's making fun of him because he is, at 27 years old, a virgin. And he says it's wrong to have sex outside marriage, which is true. Piers Morgan, who is also claiming to be Catholic, who claims to be Catholic, is grilling him for being a virgin. And so you look at it, and he's willing to take that on. He is not scared in the face of opposition. He's not scared in the face of being belittled. And he eloquently, boldly speaks his mind. He says what he's going to say. And he's willing to stand for what he believes in. And whether you agree with it or not, that's really attractive to young guys looking for a hero who's going to speak to their problems and say, yes, it's really bad out in the world with girls. Like, they sexualize everything, or, you know, you get married. And I can tell you, I personally know at least five, and I can give you their names, not that I'm going to, but I can give you names right off the top of my head, five guys that within 3 years of marriage, their marriage imploded and the girl took them for all they're worth. Either took the kid that was created, that was, you know, that was born, or took all his money, took the house, things like that. I can list five of those right now that I personally know.
That's just anecdotal evidence.
We're seeing this across the board. I think women, 72% or 82% of divorces, one of those, it's very high. They're instigating it. Like, he's speaking to these problems. No one else is willing to touch these things.
Again, neither one of us have really commented on, you know, the whether or not we agree with what he says. All we're saying to start is that there are elements of truth to a lot of what he says. Not all of what he says. People are going to, you know, freak out. Oh, well, he said, like, again, two things can be true. I am sure have said some things that might have just been off base, and came back and corrected it. But, like, there are things that are true, and so that if none of the stuff he was saying was true, it wouldn't resonate with anybody. Like, nobody would care. Gen Z, like, nobody would care. It's because there are elements of truth to it that it is resonating with certain people. The one other thing that I'll say on this before we maybe start with some of the reasons to avoid, be wary. Be very wary of consuming excessive Nick Fuentes content. We'll get to in a second. But I think the other reason he's appealing, Joe, is because you think about young men. You think about specifically this, you know, this is not a racism podcast or anything like that, like, not about that, but specifically young white men, there has not really been a place for them in the world for the last 15 years in the sense of honor and respect and people looking to them as, oh man, that's great. It's been, if you're a young man, specifically you're a young white man, you've been vilified for the last 15 years. That might be underselling it, maybe longer than that. And so young men have been feeling this way for a while, and here's this guy to come along and kind of validate those feelings and say, that's not right, I don't want that, here's the country that I want to see. And so, again, it resonates with a lot of young men.
Oh, yeah.
And so, again, that's not to say that that's correct or that that is the way that we should be feeling. It's just to say that, I mean, feminism has one of the reasons we started this podcast is because we're like, man, young men don't know how to be young men anymore because nobody's telling them. They're feminizing them. They're telling them to just pipe down and just kind of keep to yourself, be a good boy. That is one of the reasons why we started this podcast, is to say, no, you don't have to do that. There is a place for godly young men in this world. And, you know, Fuentes might take the godly part out of it, but he says, no, there absolutely is a place for young men in this world. And he is casting his vision for that, and a lot of young men are following
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you can cast a vision, that's why we believe in this so much, right? We talk about casting a vision. And to clarify, and going back to it on the race side of things are bad out there for white guys, black guys, Hispanic guys. I mean, guys across the board, I think things are bad for them. His whole point, though, is what should America look like? And he wants a free, Christian, clean nation where there's low crime and people get along and things like that. Again, how he gets there, his conclusions, we may disagree with. Maybe that kicks us off into the next part of the discussion. But I think the ability, as you said, to cast that vision and say, this is what it ought to look like. We don't have to put up with insanely high crime. We don't have to put up with, you know, immigration left, right, and center, you know, all over the place, where we're losing American values, where we're sending billions of dollars into these daycare systems to fund Somalians and to fund, you know, all these people getting free healthcare or free childcare, along with free healthcare, along with free everything. We don't have to have a system that functions like that. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. When you think of America first, yeah, that comes with a lot of bad connotations, and people call him a nationalist. It's like, I happen to be proud of my nation, and I happen to want my nation to flourish, because go figure, yeah. And I was listening to another podcast that was talking about him, and they made the point of like, look, if we have nowhere to go, when you think about people being dispossessed, if America goes down the drain, the people that came to America can go back to their countries. The people that come from Venezuela, the people that come from India, they can go back to their countries if things get really bad. Where do we go?
Sure.
Where do Americans go? Now, that may be black Americans, it may be white Americans, but the idea of an American person, where are we supposed to go if everything goes south? Nick Fuentes speaks to that. He speaks to, hey, we need to preserve what we have. That's not a bad thing, in my opinion. So this whole idea that America's an idea or America's an ideal, personally, I think is garbage. We're a nation where I want my kids to have people to marry. I want my kids to live in a free nation that doesn't have crime all over the streets where they have to worry about crossing sides. I want my kids to be in a place where we respect one another and where it's a genuinely good place to live. And again, he's speaking to those things. His vision to get there is definitely debatable, and it's, you know, that kind of gets us in the next one. So as you think about this, what might be the cautions? We're talking about the good things. What might be the cautions? What might be the cautions that you would give to maybe somebody who's not as familiar with Fuentes?
Well, and again, I'm not speaking as somebody who's a Fuentes fanatic. Like I said, a month ago, I had not listened to any of his stuff. I've just consumed some of his stuff over the last week or so in preparation for this episode. What I can tell you, and this is reason for caution for godly young men, whether this was him or anybody else, is the first thing is that he wears the label of Christian without necessarily reflecting being a Christian. Curses like it's, you know, not a problem. Even the slur thing, obviously, I personally think that the racial slur thing can be a bit overblown. Still don't think you should be using racial slurs, and he does, right? And so if you're going to do that, that's one thing. Just don't wear the name of Christian and do it. And he does. And so I do have obviously have a problem with that. You can't claim to be Christian, because that's the other thing, is he's pro-marriage, he's anti-abortion, he's anti-homosexuality, positions that I hold. And yet the way in which he presents himself in so many instances, like, man, I really wish you weren't up there talking about how you're a Christian, and then you use this curse word, or you, again, use this slur or whatever it is. And so that'd be the first thing that I would say is, we firmly believe the Bible teaches that godly young men, people should know you're a Christian without you ever saying the words, I'm a Christian, without you having a Bible to show everybody. Like, people should know you're a Christian based on how you conduct yourself, how you treat others, how you speak, and all these things. He seems to miss that boat quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd very much agree with that. The cussing becomes a lot, the slurs, even the you know, he makes some points about women. He made some on the Piers Morgan interview that I just think are false. I think they're wrong. I think he does come across, Piers Morgan said, you know, you seem very angry toward women. He does. In certain ways, he seems very angry toward women. He speaks glowingly of his mom and sometimes, at times, but he also seems very negative toward women. We had somebody in the Discord ask, what do you think of women? Like, yes, we love women. You know, we love our wives. And we both have daughters. And so, of course, we love women, you know, females. We had to be very careful on how we speak of that, you know, speak of them and speak of gender roles and things like that. Like,
yeah,
we are strong believers in masculinity and femininity and making sure that those have a, you know, they're both easily defined.
Right.
Where we're seeing problems in the culture as they're coming together. For him, that doesn't mean we alienate one side. That doesn't mean we hate the one side. And he would say he doesn't hate women, but, you know, the idea of putting them down, using pejoratives, using you know, just really like belittling comments. I don't see how that's becoming of anybody that claims Christ.
It's not productive. It's not helpful.
Yeah. It's not helpful because it doesn't really further his rhetoric. Now, what he's trying to do is be bombastic. Again, the shock jock type
thing. Which kind of is the second thing on here, yeah.
Yes, and that gets, I mean, it gets his point across, right? But that's one of the reasons to avoid him is, to some degree, is you got to be very careful with bombastic statements. When you use words like, I love Hitler, or you know, Hitler is cool, pump the brakes here.
Okay? People are going to naturally ask questions.
People are going to naturally ask questions, and then to be like, well, it just is. Like, okay, you're going to have to give a little more context there on what you're talking about. But those are the type of things you have to be thinking about, as especially, you know, when we talk about using the appropriate words and making sure that we're very eloquent in what we have to say as godly men. We represent Christ wherever we go. Certain words and certain phrases like that have a lot of connotations behind them. We have to be wise as serpent, innocent as doves. So the wisdom, you know, of wise as serpents comes across in those type of things. I don't think that shows a lot of wisdom on his part. It shows a lot of clicks, shows a lot of views, sure, a lot of money, you know, potential money for that. I'm not saying he doesn't believe it. My point is, I don't think it's becoming of a godly young man.
Yeah, agreed. And so the last thing I'll say, Joe, and then I do want to spend some time, or we want to spend some time on, I don't want to necessarily the, I mean, it's kind of a pros and cons episode in a way, like talking about the cons, but also some of the reasons why, you know, maybe things that are positive about him, I guess I should say. I'm not somebody who believes, and Joe, maybe you can agree or disagree. You say one or two things. You say a couple things I disagree with, or I disagree with the way that you present things, and so therefore I'm just going to throw you out completely. Like, right. I completely disagree. I'm not. I don't subscribe to that idea. I think that pretty much everybody in the world you're going to agree with on some things and disagree with on some things.
I agree.
And so, yeah, I don't. Again, there might be people watching this going, well, because of XYZ thing he said, we should just completely discount and throw out everything. I don't subscribe to that. And so, but the last thing I'll say on this idea of, you know, kind of why there need you need to have caution and why you need to be wary is because guys like him, guys like Andrew Tate as well, can so easily become idols. And that word is kind of overused. Can so easily become a figure that you follow, right? As opposed to looking at Christ as your example, you look at Nick Fuentes as your example. And people can do this with anybody. Of course, they've done it with Hollywood celebrities forever, music icons, athletes, of course. Sure. But specifically in this political realm, the cultural world that we live in, people look at Trump, same thing, like as a figure to follow. And I would just, because guys like Fuentes are so eloquent, they're so charismatic, they're so, he says what he means, and there's an authenticity that appears there. It can be very easy for young men specifically to look at this guy as, man, that's him. Let me follow him.
Yep.
It's like whether it was him or anybody else, you follow Christ. And so that would be the only other hesitation that I would offer is just because of the way he carries himself, there's a magnetism to it that, right, you need to be careful about. Because
it's easy to check your brain at the door and go, oh, I agree with all. Like, no, with each thing, you spit out the bones.
Right.
Some things he says are really good, and some things he says are like, whoa. You know, you got to be willing to, again, spit out the bones, but also like hold yourself to that standard and say, I'm not going to go past this point. Because as you said, making an idol out of him is very easy. The other thing I'll say is he does flip-flop on certain things. You know, he was anti-Trump to the point that he was basically telling people vote for Kamala because it would kind of bring down the system. It wasn't like he was super pro-Kamala, but, or Kamala, however you want to say it, Kamala. Like, that's a pretty bad take. And so he does have some of these takes, but he doesn't really apologize for any of his takes. It's like, I'm not going to apologize for anything. And on the one hand, that's
not humble.
Well, it draws people to him in the fact that he's not like tripping over him. I'm so sorry. Right. I shouldn't have said it. Let me rephrase. Let me say that. Right. Doing the good boy thing. He kind of has that bad boy persona, and that's very attractive to a lot of people. Like, it's a magnet. On the other hand, yeah, I mean, that's a problem. If you can't retract some of those things or say, man, I was wrong here, it shows a complete lack of humility. So when we make an idol out of him, he is going to flip-flop on some things, and he's going to be dead wrong on some things, and he may not have the humility to go back and say, this was a problem, I shouldn't have said this, and
you as a godly man should be able to do that.
Correct. We have to be able to admit, I was wrong here, and hopefully we can do the same on the podcast if we have things that we look back and go, man, I wish I would have done this better. No doubt, we want to be humble enough to say it. I don't see that from him.
Yeah. Joe, I was going to let you start if you want to on kind of some of the good things, and I was hoping actually that you'd start with the bottom one, because I think the bottom one is, again, a reason why he's so appealing, but this is something that I hope all of you godly young men who are in the United States would echo this.
Yeah. Well, as we were talking, you know, as I was saying a little bit earlier, he's proud of America, and he stands for American excellence. He stands for this culture of excellence. We talk about strive for greatness.
Yeah.
He understands that. That's what America's for, is we are to strive for greatness. And if there's something that's going to stand in the way of it, I think we need to think about it. It doesn't mean we get rid of it. It doesn't mean we, you know, it means we figure out what do we do about these barriers to excellence, barriers to greatness. We have to do the same thing in our lives. But he's talking about America as a culture saying, okay, we are off. There are certain things that we need to get back to, whether that's biblical basics. Sometimes he says that. Again, he doesn't fully live that. But I think there's something very helpful in the way he frames the America as a country that matters, as a country that's great, as a country that is excellence.
Right.
And he wants to preserve that. You got to appreciate something like that, because all we're told is, again, America's an idea and America's kind of global and things like that. It's like, no, it's a country that we literally live in, that I want my kids and grandkids to be able to live in and to have all of these great things. He speaks to that almost more than anybody. And I really appreciate that he's willing to say, there's a few others out there, but he's willing to say the things that nobody's willing to say in terms of like, yes, I'm proud to be an American. That's great. We say it, I'm proud to be an American, but when it comes to it, when it comes down to it, maybe they believe in immigration. Maybe they, you know, I don't know. Like, we're willing to just sell America down the river, because even the pro-Israel thing, where we're willing to get involved in other things or back other nations and kind of Israel first, like, he's looking at it going, no, America is excellent. America has a culture of greatness. Let's preserve that at all costs. That, again, you don't have to like how he does it, but that is worthy of sure. being upheld, you know, being respected.
And I apologize for throwing you for a loop there. I just thought that was a good one to start with. The second one that this one is not even on there, but I'm sure you probably, it's kind of hidden in some of this one or some of these other ones you have on here. But personally, one of the things that I really, I strive to adopt this, and I think this is a good trait to have, and that is he is not really afraid of being name called. He's not really afraid of a label being stuck on him. Like, and by that, I mean, again, in that Piers Morgan video, he calls him a racist, he calls him misogynist, he calls him, you know, all these things. And his response is basically, okay, I don't care. Right. And I know we already kind of covered that, but like, I personally believe that godly men should not be scared of specifically people that you disagree with talking down to you, using a label, you know, name calling, and then that scaring you off of your position. Don't allow that to happen. Just because somebody calls you, I mean, goodness, 5 years ago, being called a racist was the worst possible thing in the world, right? And now it's anti-Semite. It's kind of, in my opinion, taking that baton. Is like, that's the worst possible label you can have. And again, I would hope that you are not actually a racist or an anti-Semite. However, if somebody calls you that, if you know that you're not, and you're just merely stating a viewpoint that you don't believe evidences that you are one of those things, then don't apologize for your belief in that instance. Does that make sense?
Like, oh, yeah,
I'm not saying, what I'm saying is that if you know you're not racist or an anti-Semite or homophobic, I mean, people do it with homophobic well. Or, oh, you're homophobic. If you know you're not homophobic, or you know you're not racist or whatever it is, then don't allow yourself to be bullied off of your position just because they're name calling you.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that, again, as rough around the edges as he is, that I do appreciate, is like, I don't care that you call me that. I'm still going to state what I think. And if I'm shown that I'm wrong, that's fine.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on that one.
That's a great point, because that is such a controlling thing. Is you're racist, like, oh, I'm sorry. And you,
it's
immediately,
like a trump card that,
correct,
that people play.
You immediately come off of your position and you lose clout in that. I think you lose respect, in my opinion. Like, I certainly respect it less when somebody does that, of like, they immediately shift off of their belief. Like, they immediately shift off of their belief because a word is thrown around. It's
right.
Like, and they kind of freak out. Nope, stay the course. This is if I'm making my point, no matter what word is thrown toward you, no, we're gonna go based off of points. And once again, if he concedes the point, he goes, okay, you're right. I don't see him do that very often. But, you know, if he concedes a point and is willing to have that good faith dialogue with somebody and they're willing to do it with him, you see this back and forth dialogue that he has with certain people and it goes well. But don't just throw out these names. So don't be somebody that does that either, is, well, you're a racist, and think that that's a trump card. Show them why that's wrong. You know, speak to the stats or speak to whatever it may be. So when you're debating with somebody, the trump card, just throw a label on there, man, I'm not a big fan of that in the least. And so he gets around that pretty well. Once again, it's going to sound
this can happen. All again, you're a liberal, like in the Churches of Christ, right? Well, you're a liberal, or you're homophobic, you're transphobic, you hate women, like all these
xenophobic
things.
Yep.
Yeah, just don't allow yourself to be so scared of that that you basically don't take a stand for anything. And that's what a lot of, I wouldn't say young men, but a lot of men do. Men who just refuse to take a position because of that.
Well, people may listen to this and be like, well, where do you stand on these things, on his positions? This is one of those difficult things of, yes, we want to stand for our truth. There are certain things that I don't think I can adequately speak on. So anybody that's going, well, you're not really giving an opinion. What do you think about black people? What do you think about Jews? What do you think about... This is not the podcast for that, first off. And second off, I don't know enough to really adequately speak on those things and to be have an informed opinion. What I would say is inform yourself. I do think that I have informed myself enough. I'm not about to say one way or the other on certain matters of things. I think he's wrong in a lot of areas. I think he can be, you know, very, very bombastic in a lot of areas. But I would just say, if you're listening to him, draw your own conclusions. Look at your own stats. Do the research and dig it up and go, well, what is it that, you know, what do I actually think about this? Because he helps you open your mind to think outside the box. And I do appreciate people like this, because there's always been those, even Alex Jones, who can be way out there. But you start thinking outside the box and going, okay, that is interesting. And this is where Rogan got really big, is Rogan was willing to platform certain people and willing to ask questions that nobody else was willing to ask. And I appreciate that so much. And it doesn't make him the expert on everything. And if I were to tell you my positions on everything, doesn't make me the expert either. It means our job is to help open each other's minds and say, have you considered this? What do you think about that? One of the other things, though, I want to come back around to is we were just watching the takedown of Ben Shapiro, right? Ben Shapiro goes back.
Yeah.
And Fuentes' response.
Also a conservative political commentator, but very on the very opposite end of the spectrum.
Correct. He is Jewish. He's very pro-Israel. Yeah. They, you know, do not like each other. And one of the things that I really appreciate that he did is he was willing to call out Dave Rubin, who's another political commentator, conservative political commentator, who's homosexual, who's gay, for the surrogacy and having a, I think they have a son, if I remember right.
Son, yeah. It always is a son.
Yeah. And so this gay couple ends up having through artificial insemination, has it through a surrogacy or surrogate pregnancy, you know, with this woman. And then this gay couple gets a kid, and he calls it out like, this is morally disgusting and reprehensible. And yeah, Ben Shapiro and a lot of those guys are friends with him. And yet he's willing to say that's morally reprehensible. That's evil. That's against God. That homosexuality. Second off, that homosexuals would have a kid and you deprive that kid of a mother. I mean, the way he said it was like spot on. We need more of that, where I don't care if we're on the same side as a conservative. Evil is evil. Wrong is wrong. He's willing to call out the quote-unquote friends, the people he could easily sidle up to, get on their podcast, get extra exposure, you know, get the millions of dollars more. He's willing to compromise that and say, that absolutely is wrong, and I think that's, you know, reprehensible. That's really good, because it's easy to call out the other side. It really is. It's a lot harder, and this is kind of a Harry Potter quote, you know, as he gets to the end of Harry Potter and Neville stands up to his friends, right? And Dumbledore kind of, he gives him points for that. Sorry, it's a little rabbit trail.
Nerd session.
But it's the same concept of like, because I was going to butcher the Dumbledore quote, but it's easy to stand up to your enemies. It's a lot harder to stand up to your friends. Mm, and
yeah,
Nick Fuentes is in the conservative community, willing to call out the conservative things and the things where they're very inconsistent with one another. And I appreciate that so much of like, you're going to lecture me on some of my takes, but you're going to have a buddy who, you know, a gay buddy who has a kid that they took from his mom. How is that okay? That's a great question. Yeah. How is that okay?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it's impressive that he's willing to call those things out when no one else is. And there's such power in calling out the elephant in the room and being willing to say, and guys, it is what it is.
Circle back. That's why he's appealing to young men.
Correct.
Because right now, I hate to keep going back to just the generation speak, but like your majority of Gen Xers and your majority of boomers are experts at beating around the bush, being vague, kind of trying to play both sides, doing the politically correct thing where you're not really going to say anything that's all that harsh or all that, really true. You're just kind of trying to make sure that everybody's happy, right? And this is a generalization, but you see this in the church, in church leadership. You see it with elders. You see it in some cases with preachers. You just see it with that older generation. Is it's kind of like, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to kind of try to look around and see how does it play. I'm going to soft pedal it. And guys like Fuentes are like, forget soft pedaling it, man. Here's the way it is. And that's what's appealing. Again, doesn't mean that he's always correct in what he says or that he goes about saying it the right way. But I know, just to speak for myself, oh, well, do you agree with him or not? What I do agree with is I hate it when people are just vague and ambiguous. Like, I want to know what you think. I want you to be specific. I want you to be direct. When you're preaching a sermon, I want to hear, what do you think that means? I want to hear what What is, they're talking about modesty as an example. I don't want to hear that we're not supposed to be, or that we're supposed to be modest. I already know that. I want to hear you say, what is immodest? What specifically, what clothes are immodest? Things like that. Older generations are not very good at that.
Right.
They're vague. They keep it generic. They don't want to offend anybody. Guys like Fuentes, and this is where Gen Z is hopefully moving towards and can take the good parts from Fuentes and leave the bad parts, is we're going to say what is true. We're not going to beat around the bush. We're not going to be worried about offending you. Hopefully we're going to do it in a fashion that is at least, again, Christian and godly, young and very godly, but we're also not just going to, again, beat around the bush and not try to offend anybody. That is ultimately, and that's kind of my concluding thoughts, I guess, that's ultimately why he appeals to so many people.
Absolutely. You can be bold and still be a Christian, but so often, you know, the boldness goes, be bold, be eloquent, absolutely, you know, yeah. work on your speech. He's way more eloquent than we are. I mean, you just hear him roll. Even the fact that I just said, he never says, it really is impressive to see the way that he can just speak his mind. And to your point, we can learn a lot from that. Like him, dislike him, whatever it is, we can learn a lot from somebody who's willing to speak his mind. Yes, we can say it in a more godly way. We can say it in a way where we're not using cuss words and pejoratives and calling people, you know, mean names and things like that. But still, be bold. Say what you believe. Let people know where you stand on certain topics and be willing to stand in that. And no matter how much people make fun of you, stand up for yourself if that's the case. That's what we can learn from Nick Fuentes. And so it's an interesting discussion more than anything else. We couldn't not discuss him, and it's one of those,
we
like
probably waited a little too long, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. He's been big for a long time, but it was one of those like, yeah, as we start the new year, we really want to think about what can we take from somebody like this that is such a big deal right now. He's not going to be the last. It was Andrew Tate. There's been plenty of others that we haven't covered that have come up. There will be somebody behind him, but I think he's leading the charge in terms of this boldness of the new Gen Z that wants to see something change. Capture that. Use that. A lot of our listeners are Gen Z. Get emboldened by this to go out and to make a difference for Christ.
I should have said this a second ago because you concluded that really well. But what it just reminded me of is how sad I am that Charlie Kirk was killed. Yeah. Because Charlie Kirk, to me, was all the good of Fuentes without the bad.
Yeah, Fuentes does not like Charlie Kirk, or did not like Charlie Kirk. And I think that's a shame because Charlie Kirk said a lot of the right things.
And he wasn't afraid of it. He didn't beat around. Like all the things I just said that is good that Fuentes does, Kirk did it just in a far better fashion, more godly fashion.
Right.
So that's, I don't know, not to end on a sad note, but it is one of those things that, like, man, guys like Charlie Kirk who could do it and do it properly. He's missed for sure.
But, and one way or the other, you'll be hated for it. You stand up for truth. Nick Fuentes is hated in a lot of ways. Charlie Kirk, obviously, with what happened, was very hated for standing up for truth and speaking his mind and speaking what he saw as you know, what's best for America. But doesn't mean we don't. And it doesn't mean that we know we have listeners that aren't in America. Be proud of your own nation. And if you can serve your own nation in a way to try to make it the best it can be, especially to make it a Christian nation, do that, you know? Do that. But we're in America, so that's what we're going to do is try to get this to be a Christian nation.
If you're on Discord, hop in episode chat. Let us know what you think of this one when it comes out. We do want to know. Obviously, again, he's well-known. He's influential. I know you guys have thoughts on him. And, we want to hear it. Might not all agree, and that's fine. But hop on Discord. If you're not in Discord, again, link is in the description of the episode. I think that's all we got, Joe.
Anything else?
This has been episode 153 of the Godly Men Podcast, rolling strong into year four?
Four.
23, 24, 25. Wow.
Yep.
Rolling into year four. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be back next week.